broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here live on a Monday morning. Monday, April the 17th, 2023, 14, just coming now up on 15 minutes past the hour. 39 degrees and cloudy skies. Boy, the storm came in yesterday and took away all of our beautiful summery weather that we had for about 5-6 days here in the Midwest, here in Ohio. And now we're back to what April probably should feel like, and it looks like it's going to be that way for quite a while now, but that's the way it goes. Do want to give you some programming notes. We had a lot of stuff go on Friday. Friday morning, I was on the air for five hours. We had Glenn Coble on talking about his run for mayor. We had a trivia contest going on that we did not finish, and there were some questions about that. We were having some conversations on other things we did not finish. And then on Friday night, we had Orlando Carter on, a man who was, by his own account, wrongly imprisoned for 15 years for a crime he says he did not commit. Ted Williams was in. We had some conversations Friday night. And frankly, there was just a lot left on the table on Friday that we did not get a chance to address. So next hour, we're going to address all that, so you want to stay tuned for that. Plus, next hour, it's going to be an hour you want to listen. Not that you won't want to listen to this hour, but next hour, you're going to want to listen as well, because we're going to clear out our dirty laundry. I got a lot to say next hour, and some stuff that I have not said for quite a while, but we're going to clean out the closet next hour, so don't tune away. 15 minutes after 9 o'clock, we're gonna bring it all out and lay it on the table. And you know what? That's what we're gonna do this hour, as a matter of fact, because we're gonna have a gentleman on our program who you've heard on this station many times over the course of many years now. He still appears on the station periodically with Adam Lepp. He appeared on the station for many years with Adam and Glenn Coble when Glenn was here with us. Did his first appearance with me many, many years ago now. That's hard to believe.
And 6 years ago.
How many?
6 years, 2017.
Six years ago. My goodness. And he's still with us today, and it's so good to have him back this morning. He is an author. He is a historian. Certainly a political pundit. Dr. Ron Fineman. Dr. Fineman, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I thank you for inviting me again.
Yes, it's always good to have you on the program. I want to start at the top here, because there are three big issues, And to me, too, that really have to do with the Marion area here. But the first one, just the country. The indictment of former President Trump, 34 felony counts in New York. A lot of people say this is the weakest case of them all, with Georgia and the Department of Justice pending. If people have been living under a rock, this is about a payment of hush money through a campaign to adult film star Stormy Daniels. Also some tax issues in there as well that aren't getting talked about a whole lot. But basically the point history-wise of this is nearly 250 years of this country, 46 presidents. No president ever indicted. How do you feel about all this, Dr. Fineman?
I think it's very appropriate, and I think it's the first of a number of indictments. I do agree it's the least significant of them all. But I do find it interesting how Republicans have no issue about the fact that he's paying off a porn star, while they made a tremendous big deal out of Bill Clinton and his scandals. So it's a double standard. It's hypocrisy in an unbelievable manner. And that's what really gets to me, how they don't see it. It's the same situation. They went after Clinton, but they don't want to go after Trump. And now the congressman nearby your area, Jim Jordan, is making a fool of himself in New York City this morning, trying to go after the DA prosecutor, which is insanity.
Well, that's the second issue I want to get to. But I want to the parallels here, honestly, between Trump and Clinton are very interesting because, as you said, the Republicans are defending Trump for the most part here. But really, not as much. But the Democrats did defend Clinton to a certain degree when he was going through his impeachment.
That's true.
So, I mean, I guess it's, you know, if it's just about sex, the party will defend you.
I suppose so. But I guess you could say politics is hypocrisy. So much of it is on both sides. I have to say you're right on that.
Now, Dr. Feinman, if you're going to indict a president, now this is what I don't understand. D.A. Bragg in New York, this is the first indictment of a president ever in the history of this country. If you're going to indict that president, wouldn't you want to have a case that you are 99% sure you're going to win?
Well, yes. I wish that the Georgia case had moved ahead faster, and I'm amazed that it hasn't. I do agree, because I do think it is the weakest, not that it's not a case, but the weakest case of them all. That is true, but not everything is always done in the proper order. That's just the way it is. But I still think this is just the beginning, and he's going to have many more indictments over the next months.
Doesn't it ultimately, though, when this thing finally kicks off, which is going to be quite a while from now, the trial itself, if Bragg cannot pull this off, isn't this just going to be fodder for Donald Trump, to say, who is running a campaign, to say, you know what, fake?
Well, of course, he'll say whatever he wants to say because he's a massive liar. The Washington Post has said that I think he's done 45,000 lies since 2015. So he's very good at lying and manipulating his base. And the base will accept anything he says, and it just irritates me that we have people who call themselves, quote, good Christians, evangelical Christians and Catholics, and even some Orthodox Jews, who will just go along with him and don't see the lack of ethics, morals, and scruples this man has.
Well, do you think a lot of that has to do with abortion, which is going to be something else we're talking about this morning, because that's a big issue. But
yes.
Trump gave them the judges that ultimately overturned Roe versus Wade, which stood since the early 1970s. Nobody could get that overturned. Many Republican presidents tried, but Donald Trump was able to do it.
Well, never in history have we had a right given to people taken away years later. This is after 50 years to take away a right that Republican majority Supreme Court came up with Roe v. Wade. You got to remember, it was a majority Republican court. It's always been, but the Republicans back then were not extremist right-wingers. They were moderate centrists, like Harry Blackmun, Warren Berger, and people like that.
Do you think it did have anything to do with Trump, that it was overturned?
In what sense? I'm not sure what you're getting at.
That he did appoint judges who, you know, they all say that it's law is precedent, but clearly when it came down to it, it was not.
Well, in the sense that people he appointed lied when they did their testimony for their seat, so they said it was accepted law, Roe v. Wade, but then they went ahead and reversed it. So I think all of them, particularly Clarence Thomas, who is such a crooked man, and Samuel Alito, both pointed by the Bushes, by the way. They really are outrageous, but the others went along with them, and I consider the court has lost its credibility to the American people. I think it's down to 25% now, and it's not helping the court the way they're going now, and I'm concerned they're going to wipe out abortion rights completely this week, and I'm hoping they won't. I'd like to think for survival they will realize they can't do that, because women are not going to accept that, the majority of women, and the people who love them are not going to accept it.
And I want to talk about abortion here as we go along, because I think that is a very broad topic that's going to be decided by courts this week, and already things are starting to happen there. But when it comes to President Trump, now he's got a campaign to run, and it's my understanding his next hearing in this case in Manhattan is not till December. Now, they could be called in for some pre-things, meetings before then, but there's going to be nothing huge until at least December. Does that mean anything? Do you think these other indictments in Georgia and the Department of Justice could possibly happen before December?
I think Georgia is very close, and the other one I don't know with the U.S. government, but I think they're moving forward rapidly, and I think it's a very good chance that they will be indictments before December.
Which case do you think is the strongest?
Well, I think obviously the January 6th insurrection and what he was, how Trump was involved with that, certainly, and also the case about the Mar-a-Lago documents, I think is very strong. But also the Georgia case, we actually hear him talking to the state Secretary of State and telling them, you know, to change votes. I mean, he actually does it. He indicts himself, our former president, by doing that. I mean, it's not as if we're making it up that he didn't say it. He did. So he actually confesses a lot of things when he opens up his mouth or writes on Truth Social.
Well, do you think, honestly, that an indictment is one thing, but do you honestly think that any judge or any jury would sentence a president to jail time? That's a stark thing to do.
That, I have to admit, I've always said indictment is not that difficult to accomplish in theory, although no president before has been indicted, although Nixon would have been indicted if Ford had not pardoned him in 1974. But it will be difficult to have a conviction, yes, I agree. But I think it scars him enough that anybody in their right mind would say this man should not be put into the White House again, because he's made clear he wants to declare war on all the government agencies and the civil servants, intelligence, diplomacy, and everything, and that is a menace to our country and its Constitution.
Isn't that ultimately what the Manhattan case problem is that even if Donald Trump is found guilty of this, that the jurors or the judge or whoever ends up deciding the fate of this case is going to say, okay, maybe it happened, but over this, we're going to be the first people to send a president to jail?
Well, the thing is, you only have to get one juror to think that way, so you've got a good point there. It's going to be hard to get a conviction. I agree. But it needs to be done for the record of history, no matter what, even if there's no conviction. Not every case ends up in a conviction, but the case needs to be brought and be part of the historical record.
When it comes to being equal under the law, what has this taught us in regard to former presidents?
Well, not only about him, but about people in government, that they seem to think they're above the law. And that's true of both parties. There are people in both parties who are arrogant and think that they're not answerable to the public. So it's not just Trump, but he's the worst example.
Why, explain to people as a presidential historian, why is it such a big deal that a president has been indicted? And why also is it, when they're out of office, such a big deal to possibly not send them to jail, as you would another person who was convicted of the same crimes?
Well, because the president is the leader of the country, and he's supposed to be a model for others, and therefore the kind of behavior that he demonstrated is something that simply needs to be recognized as horrendous and not acceptable, and not something that should be practiced in the future.
Do you think it's going to deter anybody in the future? Do you think we pay attention to history?
Well, we've never had a president who's been as abusive of his power, other than maybe Nixon. But even with Nixon, I've always told my students, in comparative terms, Nixon looks like, quote, a choir boy compared to Trump. I think if Nixon was around now, he would say, how does he get away with this? I really think that it will deter people in the future from being on the level of a Trump or a Nixon. I like to believe that anyway. Maybe I'm naive.
When we talk about Clinton and Trump here, I certainly know that you're not a fan of Donald Trump, but the Clintons used to say, we were being investigated from the moment we came into office, and it never stopped. And eventually they did get Clinton on something. He lost his law license when he left the White House. He certainly yes. was impeached, first president.
Nixon would have been, but he wasn't because he resigned, but since Andrew Johnson, yes.
Right, Andrew Johnson.
Yeah, not Lyndon, though.
No. So basically, Trump was investigated, I think, from the moment he was elected. I think the investigations were already out there. He was investigated through his entire presidency, and now after, and now they've got him on something.
Yes, but it's something, I think that all the issues have come up, you know, this one being the least one, are still important issues, particularly the other issues that are not yet indicted.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Do you think that the parties at some point, when they don't like the person who's elected president, just have to lay back for a second and let them do their job?
That would be the ideal, but even now the Republicans are going after Joe Biden and his son Hunter, and yet nothing has been found other than the fact that his son does have drug and alcohol problems, clearly, and may have had some tax issues, yes, but they're really trying to grasp at straws and they're not finding anything. And Jim Jordan is one of the key figures of that. And I would think that the people in the area around where you are should have enough sense not to elect him, but it's a gerrymandered seat. So therefore, he's never going to probably lose his seat. And that's one of the problems about the system, the gerrymandering that goes on in so many state legislatures that affect the congressional seats as well as the state legislatures.
Well, why did this start after George H.W. Bush? Started with Clinton, certainly went on during George W. Bush, certainly went on during Barack Obama, certainly has gone on during Trump, and now Biden to some degree. We all hear the Hunter Biden quotes and da-da-da. Why can't we just, if these people are elected, let them do their job? If there is a crime, deal with it after. Because I think one of the things with Trump right now is that he was investigated so heavily through his entire presidency. He was impeached twice, and nothing happened. I think people say, well, this is just another thing now.
Well, it goes back to the switch over of who's in control of the Congress. In 1994, we had the, quote, Republican Revolution led by Newt Gingrich. And I think Newt Gingrich, who's still around, he's like 80 years old now, is a major villain in the whole idea of take no prisoners. And that's what's happened in both parties in the last 30 years. And Pat Buchanan running against George H.W. Bush in the primaries in 92 also was in that direction. They are the two, I think, key villains of 30 years ago that really promoted this attitude of not accepting the opposition or ever accepting defeat.
With Trump in this pickle now of being indicted in Manhattan and possibly being indicted in Georgia and by the Department of Justice, what does it do to the Republican campaign? Because by the end of this year, there are going to be primaries. There are going to be debates. And
well, there are going to be debates starting in August. I see they're going to have August. One in Milwaukee for the Republicans.
Okay.
Yes.
So. First of all, not a whole lot of people have announced their candidacy on the Republican side, certainly not heavyweights like Trump. And do you want to do it when he's getting all this free press because of what's going on in Manhattan? Is it going to deter people who would have run from running?
Well, already some Republicans that were rumored to be running have made clear they're not. Mike Pompeo, the former Secretary of State, is bowing out. And also Larry Hogan of Maryland, the former governor of Maryland, is not running. And I just read that Glenn Youngkin, the new governor of Virginia, seems to be backing away, and it's going to wait at least to the midterm, not the midterm, but the Virginia state election to come this fall. And I do think that even DeSantis is starting to have a lot of wealthy donors who are backing away from him because of what he's doing on abortion in Florida. I think he's starting to really alienate. A lot of people think that he's not going to be able to win. And that, you know, and I think they're starting to, I think it's a chance DeSantis will end up not running, actually. But, you know, I'm just saying that I think it's going to be far fewer people running. And that will give more of an opportunity for those who do run to possibly overcome Trump. The more who run, it's more likely Trump will be able to win with maybe 35% of the vote in the primaries like he did in 2016. So, in a way, it's good if you don't want Trump to have fewer candidates. But the question is, who was willing to really criticize Trump? And at this point, it's only Asa Hutchinson of Arkansas seems to be just about the only one who's willing to do that. And I don't think he's going anywhere. But, you know, we'll have to see. It's going to be interesting to follow.
If DeSantis does not run, who can really challenge Trump? Not just the people you just mentioned, but is there somebody who could come out of the woodwork who could do it?
At the moment, I can't think of any. I would say Mike Pence, but Mike Pence, I think, has no chance in the world.
Is he going to run?
Well, it seems like he is, but he was booed at the NRA convention, which, by the way, irritated me that he got up and he said, if it was my last breath, he said, I will back the Second Amendment 100%. This after what happened in Tennessee and Kentucky. And I just thought, you could have been dead if it had been left up to Trump on January 6th, and you can make a statement like that. So I think he really makes himself look like a person who is total gutless wonder. He really is. So at this point, I think Trump may be the nominee, but if you go by any indication, there's no way he could support to win the election.
Well, this becomes a big issue as well, because if he is the nominee and the trial starts and he loses the trial before the election in 2024, what happens then?
Don't know. If he was convicted, I don't know what would happen. It's hard to even imagine. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball, unfortunately. Oh my gosh, the thought of it. But also the question is, if he did run, who would be his running mate? Oh my God, the thought of Carrie Lake of Arizona, maybe, or Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia. I mean, then we would have to be more concerned, not so much about Trump, but God forbid if anything happened to him, if he was in the White House, having a true lunatic running.
You know, I want to talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene for a second, because I believe it was 2 weeks ago she did the interview with Leslie Stahl on 60 Minutes. And yes. And Marjorie Taylor Greene is not representative of a big area of the Republican Party. When you look at the people she represents and the position she holds, she is not a big deal politician. But we have made her into a big deal politician because the news covers her, and she was on 60 Minutes being interviewed. Now, yes, she said some really questionable things if you listen to the interview, but they put her on. Why do they do that?
Well, because Kevin McCarthy, Speaker of the House, because of her. You know, that's why she's become very important in the Republican caucus, and it's a shame. But I think, you know, that she's been repudiated even by Lindsey Graham, who I'm no fan of, on the issue. You know, recently of what she had to say on Ukraine and other things she has said, and also on this 21-year-old who was arrested, you know, involved in stealing intelligence and all that. And so a lot of Republicans are repudiating her, but if Trump's the nominee, he could pick whoever he wants as his running mate. The thought of her or Carrie Lake, who still thinks she's the governor of Arizona after she's not, I mean, this is scary. I mean, as a woman, great to have a woman on the ticket, but you don't want a lunatic woman.
Well, I want to talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene again in the 60 Minutes thing, because Leslie Stahl took a lot of heat over this interview that they put her on, and Leslie, I guess, didn't push back hard enough on the claims that she was making. And what was interesting to me about that, I think Leslie Stahl did what she was supposed to do. She's not supposed to give her opinion, although she did sigh a few times during the interview.
I noticed that.
But you know, she did what she was supposed to do, and you know what? You can put anybody on the air, so I don't fault her for that either. But
no,
what
I don't either.
I do fault is if you really think that she's saying crazy things, and you really don't like how Leslie Stahl handled it, and you really don't like that she put her on, why did every cable news station, every newspaper run that story the next day and give it so much viewership and so many more eyeballs than the people who actually watched it on 60 Minutes?
Because, unfortunately, news media are in business to make money, and they do it by having outrageous content. All of them do. That's the same with social media. So, therefore, anybody who's outrageous will get a lot of attention.
Well, and is that why people are outrageous? That's the chicken and the egg question.
Yeah, I think it is a bit of both. But everybody wants to have publicity, and the point is you make more money at a station if you have people watching or listening more.
Well, that is true. I mean, in the end, I've always said that people who say that media has a liberal or conservative bias is not really true. The bias in media is really to listeners or viewers.
Yes, the whole idea of media is to publicize, but I don't think that necessarily they take one view or the other. But in any case, they get criticized on both ends.
Exactly. Well, I do want to move to Jim Jordan here in our district, because he was sued by Mr. Bragg in Manhattan because he wanted some information that Mr. Bragg felt was private and certainly should not be shared with Mr. Jordan in the Trump matter. Tell the people who don't understand this, because this is our congressman, what happened there? What was Jim Jordan wanting? What did Bragg not like? And where is it now?
Jordan simply wanted to prevent any further than the indictment of Trump. He's a Trump lover to the point that he doesn't want to allow justice to play its role. He's interfering with a case, and it's proper that he's being sued. And the fact that he's the head of the Judiciary Committee is, of course, because the Republicans control the House by 5 votes margin, and it's a disgrace to the local area where he represents and to the country that he's there. But he's trying to undermine the case against Trump. But he himself still has not been cleared about what happened when he was assistant coach, wrestling coach at Ohio State years ago, and I know even on your station he's not been willing to discuss that issue.
Well, now, that's partially true. He did come on, and we did talk about it, but I don't think he was happy that we were talking about it.
That's understatement.
Yes. So, but, I mean, that was also right after it came out. So, yes, that was the last time we talked about it. But he did talk about it, so I can't say that he didn't. But I don't think it was the best conversation that we've ever had.
And he's not, I don't think he's accepted coming back to your station, has he?
Or no, that was the last time. But, you know, I don't know. It was just one of those things, and I'm sure he doesn't want to talk about it. Most people don't want to talk about things that are uncomfortable. And
Of course.
And I also think that with him, in that particular case, maybe he thought we weren't going to talk about it, although it had never been taken off the table.
Yes.
Yeah. So does Jordan have the right to do what he's doing as a member of Congress in regard to the case in New York?
I think it's going beyond his rights to do so. But you've got to realize the Freedom Caucus, of which he's one of the leading figures, they don't care about rules. They just do whatever they want, and they're a very dangerous group in the Republican Party. And they can bring Kevin McCarthy down as Speaker. If just one person brings up a vote and he gets five Republicans to join all the Democrats, Kevin McCarthy's out as Speaker. And who knows who's next? It could be Jordan. Or it could be someone as extreme as him. So, I mean, it's very scary about what could happen, because the Republican 118th Congress in the House has done absolutely nothing in 100 days. It's just the thing. 100 days is the most disgraceful. They've done nothing about the debt limit extension and other things, and it's just all publicity but not getting anything accomplished for the country.
Well, and this comes back to the Marjorie Taylor Greene question again. I think about Jim Jordan. He is a congressman from a relatively small district here in Ohio, but he is a national figure. He is front page news now. He is on all the national talk shows that have a conservative leaning. Now, how did that happen?
Because of seniority. He's been there for quite a while, and you know, when he has a district, he can't really lose because of the way the seats are gerrymandered in the state of Ohio. And so he's built up power, and he's outrageous. He's always been outrageous. And if you come out, of course, as outrageous, it definitely helps you. Just like with Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, Matt Gaetz of Florida, and people like that.
So basically, if you want to get known in politics, you have to say things that are offbeat. People will pick up on them. You will get free publicity, and you'll be a star.
Just like George Santos of Long Island, New York, who came to the seat based on lies, and he's still there. So, yes, being outrageous gets you more attention than being productive.
Want to talk about abortion, because this is going to be a big issue. The FDA, the approval of an FDA abortion pill was rescinded recently, and that caused a lot of problem. As you said, the Supreme Court might be making some rulings here very soon on abortion. So let's start with their rescinding of this FDA abortion pill that had been approved by the FDA. What happened there?
Well, it's been out for 20 years, but we have this Matthew Kaczmarek, this judge appointed by Trump, who actually lied in his hearings about his stand on. In fact, all these people have lied when they testified. So he has decided, because of his own religious views, that he could just suddenly mandate, forget what's been allowed for 20 years, that's safer than Tylenol, and that's what's brought up this issue. Now, the indication I get, we'll see what happens, is that the Supreme Court might surprise us and go against Kaczmarek. The belief is that Roberts and Kavanaugh may join the three liberals and keep the pill still being allowed. I hope that's what's going to happen, because it's going to affect millions of women, and you got to realize, there's lots of people, you know, people don't want to admit it, but there are a lot of people who have rape or incest or danger to the life of the mother. And, I mean, unfortunately, women are being warred upon by men and some women who seem to think that they don't have a right to their own body. I'm not a big abortion fan, but I don't think it's something that should be banned. It should be left up to the women and the doctors.
Now, when it comes to an abortion pill, we're talking about a pill that has to be taken in a certain amount of time after you know that you're pregnant. And it will terminate the pregnancy.
Yes.
Okay. So that's what, at this point, is on the table. And if the Supreme Court rules that this is okay, this would do away with the abortion pill, correct?
correct. Well, in theory, except the states that allow abortion have collected enough medication for a few years, Massachusetts, California, New York, places like that. So in some states, they'll justify it for a period of time at least.
Now, when it comes to the Supreme Court itself, what are the serious issues regarding abortion that could come down within the week?
Well, the issue of whether what happened with the Dobbs case is further extended to try to end abortion on a national level, though that case said it was left up to the states. But now, with what Matthew Kaczmarek, the district judge, has done, it could wipe it out nationally, although in the states that allow abortion, they'll just ignore the case. And, you know, I don't know what can be done to prevent that from happening if they ignore the case and still provide medication. But this is a crisis. But, you know, if you look at the map of the states that are banning abortion now, and I'm looking at it right now from the New York Times, I notice, with three exceptions, they're all the Old South and the Confederate South, the states that had slavery before the Civil War ended. Every only exceptions are North and South Carolina and Virginia. But otherwise, all of them. Suddenly, so it's interesting. In the past, they were promoting slavery, and now they're promoting women not having a right to their own body. It's only exceptions of Wisconsin, South Dakota, and Idaho also that have bans on abortion, but it's really the South. So again, the South is standing out as an area that doesn't care about basic human rights.
When Roe versus Wade was overturned just about a year ago now, the whole story behind it was that it's going to be left up to the states, and that's why everybody was waiting to see how all states were going to rule. Now, how did we get to the point to where now maybe that won't be the case?
Well, because of, I think, the abuse of authority by Matthew Kaczmarek, this district court judge, but he's a right-wing extremist. He should not have been put on the district court. And the whole idea that one district court judge could mandate this, and then it gets decided by the court, to me, this is a basic human right. It's not something the court should be intervening in at all. And if you don't want to have an abortion, that's fine. But it's nobody's business what you do with your body.
You know, there's something very interesting about abortion. And I was thinking about this morning when I was reading this article on this FDA ban on this abortion pill, is that there are things in society that were taboos for a long time. I mean, if you got pregnant and you, out of wedlock, a lot of times you'd have to leave town, and then you'd come back. Nobody talked about it. It was very hush-hush. Or you had to get married, and people would count the months. You know, when was the baby born? People would actually adjust their anniversary dates so that people would you know, not think that this baby was born or conceived out of wedlock.
And they were lying, in other words.
Absolutely. And AIDS early on, people did not want to go around people with AIDS. They would not tell if they had AIDS. I mean, that was a taboo for a long time. And suicide. Today, we still talk about this, that no obituary ever says the person died from suicide, but I've been told from people, local police officers, that you wouldn't believe the amount of death that does come from suicide. But people don't say it because there's a taboo. So,
yes, it is. And suicide is something that's become endemic because of people having to, although you can die by other methods, so many people use firearms to kill themselves. And a lot of people have mental disturbances and should be nowhere near such weapons, but they are.
But I guess the point I'm driving to with abortion saying all that is that certainly over the years, people will now say that they have AIDS. Magic Johnson has done it. I think that went to a great deal to humanize that illness and him still HIV being HIV positive and him still being alive. Certainly, people do not leave town now if they get pregnant out of wedlock. People do not always marry the father if they have a baby out of wedlock. So that's not a big thing anymore. That's not seen like it was. When it comes to suicide, I mean, there are suicide support groups now that people go to. It's a little more acceptable in society, but yet here we have abortion, which early 1970s, Roe versus Wade was decided, but you are just not supposed to talk about this if you do it. People do not want their name associated with it, and here we are 50-something years later after the decision, and it never got any less of a taboo. Why is that?
I think because of the power of organized religion, religion gets involved in something that, yes, you have a right to your religious views, but you don't have a right to impose it on everyone else. And yet we're allowing religious groups to have such an impact that they affect our political system. And we're supposed to have separation of church and state, and this is not happening with these extremist groups that want no exceptions for abortion, no matter what. That is obscene, I think.
Well, you know, I can certainly understand if you are raped, as you say, or if there is incest or something of that nature, that you would not want to talk about that abortion because you probably don't want to talk about what led to that abortion. But if you get one, much like this pill, if you get one just because you got pregnant and you don't want the kid, can't afford the kid, maybe you're a teenager, whatever the reason may be, why can't we talk about that? We talk about everything else in this society. Why can't we talk about that? I mean, you made the decision to do it.
Well, because, again, the power of groups that want to prevent this, so you know, pressure is brought on people not to do it. But, you know, what's interesting is the same people believe this. Also, there's a person in Missouri and the state legislature who wants to make it that 12-year-olds can get married. That's insane.
Yeah, but wouldn't putting some of this in the light make this less of an issue? Because, my goodness, abortion is talked about in every presidential campaign, and I can never understand this because men cannot get abortions. So why this is such an issue?
But they can get vasectomies.
Right, but you know what? Now, see, there's the issue. If somebody came on the air today and said, hey, you know, Joe Smith down the road got a vasectomy, nobody would think anything of that. And the person saying it would not have a person saying have problem saying the person's name. It would just be, hey, that happened. But if you went on and said such and such had an abortion, even if it was true, oh, my goodness.
Well, it's because, unfortunately, the way it works is that if men got a vasectomy and the court said you can't have a vasectomy, they'd scream and yell bloody murder. But they have no problem, many men, in saying women should not have that right. As far as abortion.
So you think this is a man and a woman thing?
I think a lot of it's somewhat misogyny, yes. A lot of it is. But also I wonder about women who are anti-abortion to the extreme. It's one thing to say, quote, I don't want to have an abortion. Fine, tell other women not to have an abortion. It's none of your business.
Yeah, but
they do. Like the people at Liberty University where Ron DeSantis spoke, all these women and men, all these young people, and I'm saying to myself, none of you are ever going to get pregnant and not want a child or whatever. I mean, to me, it's just hypocrisy.
But aren't a lot of these abortions public knowledge to some degree because they took place in clinics before HIPAA laws and things of that nature?
I guess it's possible to find the information about it, yes. And there are people in Congress, women in Congress, who have said years ago they got abortions, that have spoken up.
Right,
yes.
Right. So I guess my question is, if I was wanting to, like we're doing this morning, there's a lot of talk about abortion this week. If I'm doing a story on abortion and I know somebody has had one, I'm not allowed to say who that is because it's abortion. But I could say, hey, you know, Joe had his leg amputated because of diabetes, and Bill had open heart surgery, and Tim has cancer. I can say all that, but even if it's true, I can't say the name of the person who had the abortion?
Well, it's a privacy issue, and HIPAA laws make it that actually anything that anyone has to do with their health and medical history is not supposed to be revealed unless they want it to be revealed.
Well, no,
that's good, and maybe it's not good, but that's the law, you know.
Well, no, I guess I'm not saying from the perspective, because obviously I haven't been looking through anybody's medical records. I'm saying if somebody has told me that this happened, and I'm pretty sure that it did, that's not a HIPAA violation. That's not a privacy violation. Why can't I say that if I can say everything else in regard to any other illness that anybody has? Maybe they don't want their illnesses known.
Yeah, well, I think if somebody tells you about something, it doesn't necessarily mean they want you to broadcast it on radio.
No, you're right. But I guess what I'm saying is here, I guess the point I'm making on this week where abortion might be decided is I'm sure if like I say, if Tim goes in for open heart surgery, he's not going to say to me, by the way, Scott, don't mention that on the airwave. He's not going to say that. But I might come on and say, hey, you know what? Tim is having heart surgery today. We need to send him our best thoughts that he gets through this okay. It's going to be a very tough time. And I wouldn't even think twice about it. But with abortion, same thing. They don't tell me not to say it, but I guess I'm not supposed to because it's abortion?
I don't know. I never thought of it that way, but I think maybe it's just women feel that this is something involving their reproductive system and that it's not something to be broadcast unless they choose to on their own, I guess. I never really thought about it the way you're saying it.
You know, I don't know. I thought about this morning because of the business I'm in, and you know what I've come to the conclusion of? If you've told me about it and you did it, and it was not in the case of rape and incest, because that becomes a whole nother issue. Because yes. then we have to talk about your rape and incest, and those are crimes, and I don't think that I should be talking about crimes. But if you just got an abortion because you were too young, or because you could not afford the baby, or whatever reason, that's your right at the time because it was legal. But I don't think the burden is on me not to mention it. And maybe by mentioning it and mentioning the name of the person, it humanizes it. Because have you ever noticed how abortion is always the third person in the room? We talk about it like a third person because you're never supposed to say the person's name. Maybe if you give it a little humanity, say, hey, and this person, you know, now knows, the audience now knows that this person had it done. Oh, okay, well, you know what? Maybe she needed it.
Yeah, but I think that, unfortunately, a lot of people listening and hearing this would make a moral judgment on such a person while they would not over somebody having heart surgery or something else.
Yeah,
so I think a lot of it is the issue of morality as people see it.
But don't they make moral judgments on everything we say? with
yes.
Comments you said earlier on, when you said Jim Jordan, I don't remember the exact quote, but basically is acting crazy today. Now, you're not saying he's actually crazy, mentally crazy.
Actually, I am. I'm kidding.
Okay. No, but I'm sure the people who vote for Jim Jordan very heavy in this district made a judgment on you. So, I mean, what's the big deal? I mean, honestly, I think we need to get honest with some things here.
Well, it's an issue of privacy rights. I guess you have to honor if people feel strongly on that. I'm not saying I would necessarily do that, but, you know, it's up to an individual's personal privacy rights.
Well, I guess let me ask you this. Is it like outing a same-sex person? I mean, is that really what it comes down to? If I know that you are in a same-sex relationship, that if I say it, that makes me the bad person because I outed you?
Well, I think these days nobody really cares, but in the past it was thought to be something private. So it's a different mentality today on that issue, I think.
You know what? I think most people's families know what happened anyway. I mean, I don't think that if somebody had an abortion, it really is all that hush-hush. I don't think really that I can come on and really blow people's mind by saying somebody's name.
Well, but the only thing is, within the family, they may not care, but they may not want outsiders, neighbors, and other people they know about it unless they choose to tell them.
But isn't that ultimately the problem, though, much like with suicide? If we don't put it in the obituary, if we never talk about it, it's never going to become okay, and it's still going to be like the marriages where you had to leave town.
Well, I would say you're right, but I don't think we're going to be able to change attitudes the way you and I might wish to.
I just think it's a very interesting subject. And when I was reading about the abortion pill this morning, I thought, you know, if you go, you have to buy these pills, by the way. You have to go into the grocery store. What do you think the cashier thinks when you're buying those?
if she's thinking about it, yes, I understand.
Yeah, so it's
saying.
It's not like these things are great big secrets. I mean, it's not like that.
But it's not a headline saying Jane is getting an abortion.
Oh, do you really think it'd be a headline, though? If I came on in the morning and said such and such had an abortion because we're talking about abortion, do you think that's going to be the headline? I highly doubt it.
No, but I bet she'd be sued by that person.
Right. Now, what would be the grounds to sue if it's true?
Privacy rights.
But
it's none of your business to report what I'm doing unless I give you permission.
Well, I don't know if that's true or not. I really don't know if that's a privacy right because, again, if I said somebody was having heart surgery, if they told me, I think we're talking about two different things here. I'm not saying as a reporter that I am snooping on people. I'm saying if somebody has told me this, I think you have given away your privacy right at this point.
Well, that could be. You know, I've never thought about it in the way you're bringing it up, so I'm sort of like perplexed how to answer it.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not a private... I mean, let's just be clear. It's not a... If you told me, if you were the one who told me, it's no longer a privacy right. It's not like I went through your medical records.
That's an interesting way to look at it, yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I just find it fascinating because clearly this is an issue that is a hot button in elections. It's a hot button right now, and we'll see what happens with that. In any event, what do you think is going to happen with Mr. Jordan, our congressman, this morning? We've got about 30 seconds.
I think he'll make a fool of himself today. He'll be criticized, except on Fox News Channel, of course, which lies all the time.
Well...
I want to thank you for inviting me. I hope you can do this soon again, because there are lots of things we didn't talk about that we could have.
Well, you know, it was an interesting conversation, though, because I think a lot of things are very heavy right now, and we're going to see what happens. Dr. Feinman, thank you for coming on. It's always a pleasure.
You're
thank
listening
you so
thank
to
you. We're going to break. We'll be back
Radio,
in 15 minutes.
LV,
don't go anywhere.
Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place. From legendary talk show host, actor, broadcaster, and comedian Charles Grodin.
You know what? You know what? What I'm impressed by. You think I would know this? How you have all this audio?
Oh, you're impressed by this?
Well, what do you do? Just tape it, tape the shows as they go. But you're going back 10 years now, or maybe longer.